Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey.
Welcome, this is Eric.
This is brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight we're going to talk about the 2011 movie Thor.
Yeah, we are.
Directed by... Jason, do you know
Kenneth
who directed
Branagh.
Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah. So, this is our next foray into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I think it's only fair that, Jason, what's your, off the top of your head, what's your first reaction to this movie, which you saw for the first time?
Yesterday.
What last do you night. Think?
It's fine. It's a decent movie. It's okay. I didn't hate it. I liked it better than the Iron Man movies.
Both of them?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Huh. Okay. So, Drew.
But I should also preface that with the fact that A, I watched half of it before the debate and half of it after the debate. So, that may have changed my outlook. Also, you know, Chris Hemsworth is a little bit of eye candy, as is, you know, Mr. Hiddleston. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, Idris Elba, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, that's also true. Yeah. Not so much on Anthony Hopkins.
No, or Stellan Skarsgård.
Yes. I wrote down, Chernobyl.
Yes. So, Drew, mm-hmm. you are Mr. Rourke in this fantasy island of Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Nice.
And I know, and you said before how much you enjoyed this teaser at the end of Iron Man 2?
Yes.
That showed the hammer?
I was very excited.
Mm-hmm. So, what was your experience when you watched this the first time?
I loved... When I collected comic books, I loved Thor. There was a run of Thor written and drawn by a dude named Walt Simonson. I loved his artwork. It was the first time I actually thought to myself, I really like this style of artwork, and paid attention to who was drawing the comic book. The stories that he wrote for Thor were really interesting. So that was kind of my gateway into the whole world of Norse mythology when I was a kid, which is also super interesting. So I've always loved Thor as a character, even though he's a little goofy and a lot of how he fits into the greater Marvel universe doesn't make sense. So I was very excited to see that hammer at the end of Iron Man 2. When this movie came out, I gobbled up all the previews I could before it came out, and I thought it looked great. I thought they did a great job of casting. Because, you know, Chris Hemsworth, he is the physical embodiment of Thor on Earth. And so I was super psyched for this movie. And when I watched it in the movie theater on opening weekend, I was perfectly whelmed. I wasn't overwhelmed. I wasn't underwhelmed. It was adequate.
Well, I know we had this whole conversation about like 4K TVs.
Mm-hmm.
And so my father-in-law got a 4K TV a couple of years ago. I guess, well, maybe it was just a high def TV. I'm not sure, but it must 2011, right? So 2012 or 2013. Anyway. So this was on some sort of cable service at the time that he got his new TV. And so this happened to be on in the TV room one Christmas or Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And because of the whatever that smoothing feature you guys taught me about.
Motion smoothing?
Yeah. It looked like it was set on a soap opera set.
Yes.
That took me out of it a little bit. But when I watched it this time on a 4-inch iPod, it looked great.
That's exactly how Kenneth Branagh intended it to be seen.
Yeah.
I watched it on a 70-inch TV, and it looked really good.
Yeah. I thought the costumes could have been... I mean, like, Thor's costume especially always ran the risk of looking really goofy, but they mm-hmm. made it work. The I was impressed at the time. I'm still impressed by Tom Hiddleston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's real good.
Mm-hmm. And Chris Hemsworth does a great job being, you know, the dumb superhero, which is great. Yep. So he's the anti-Tony Stark.
Then they have Anthony Hopkins with Richard Marx's hair.
Yeah, well, Anthony Hopkins is always a little hammy, but he was pretty subdued in this role.
I thought that this was a misstep. I did not like him.
Really?
Mm-mm.
How would you recast him? Who would you
put? I'm not sure, but he really took me out. I don't know. I would have gone with some. I don't know. I don't have a better example.
Hold on. Stellan Skarsgård as Odin and Anthony Hopkins as Erik Selvig.
No.
Have you guys read, I assume you have, Eric, maybe you have too, Jason, American Gods?
I got about halfway through it.
Was that the Neil Gaiman?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I think I recommended it to you. Because I have it on Audible, so yeah.
Yeah. So Ian McShane played Odin, Mr. Wednesday, in the television show for the adaptation of American Gods. And even though that's like a more serious version of Odin, I think he would have done a really good job in this kind of lighter role, because just his face and his voice would bring the gravity to it. And he's not quite as hammy as Anthony Hopkins.
Well, and we had, this movie swung for the fences in casting. So, you know, they spared no expense.
This was also the debut of probably, before the last couple of weeks, probably the most hated Marvel character, Hawkeye.
Yes.
Who I also love. So I was super excited to see Hawkeye in a movie. There's no way ever in my life I thought that Hawkeye would be a major character in a live action comic book movie.
Oh, I know.
Hawkeye. It's ridiculous.
Well, and until
I love it.
Until you reminded me of the Hawkeye miniseries a couple weeks ago, I had forgotten that Hawkeye was actually worth paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this series, again, maybe it's because I just have just a subtle dislike for Jeremy Renner for no good reason.
That's probably a good reason.
Yeah. By the way, what happened this week to Marvel superheroes?
Oh,
is Jeffrey Toobin a Marvel superhero?
Chris Pratt was trending on Twitter because somebody posted a picture of the four Chrises. They threw in Chris Pine with Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans, and Chris Pratt, and said which one has to go. And universally, everybody said Chris Pratt, mostly because he's a Trump supporter.
Oh, now remind me, Captain America.
Chris Evans.
Okay.
Guardians of the Galaxy is Chris Pratt.
Oh.
Chris Pine is Captain Kirk.
Former. What was it? What's his ex-wife ex-girlfriend, ex-wife.
Anna Faris.
Anna Faris.
Okay, yes. That's the Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
Jurassic yes. Park Pratt.
World.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Jurassic World Pratt. Yeah, okay. Got it.
He's now married to Schwarzenegger.
Oh, okay, yes. And then I think I mentioned before how this is maybe the first movie I didn't like Natalie Portman in.
She was in a different movie.
She was.
She looked like she was being held hostage.
Yeah, she did. And, I mean, I guess what she had to work with, it was fine. I mean, it's not like she did a poor job. It's just that, why would you hire Natalie Portman to play that role?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can say Natalie Portman's in your movie.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much it.
Kenneth Branagh maybe really liked her.
Oh, that leads us down a road, though.
I'm pretty sure she tried to quit the second movie.
Where she was really held hostage.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Shall we jump into the plot?
Yeah. I appreciated that they brought some elements of the fundamental story of Thor in the comic books. Which I don't know if you remember this, Eric. Jason, I assume you never read them.
No.
But in the comic books, Thor was he was cast out of Asgard for just kind of being a tool, and he was humbled by being made a human with a disability on Earth. So he was a doctor, Donald Blake, which was they had a little nod to that in this movie, and he had to walk with a cane. But once he regained his honor, he could slam his cane on the ground and it would turn into Mjolnir and he would turn into Thor. So he did kind of have an alter ego in the early on in the comic books. That was abandoned after a while. But so the casting out of Asgard was I was happy to see that as a plot point in this origin story for Thor.
Okay, so the movie starts with three scientists. Jane Foster. By the way, who's Dr. Foster? I swear, I forgot halfway through the movie that her last name was Foster, and I thought she was like Jane Banner or something. When Stellan Skarsgård said, "I worked with her father," blah, blah, blah.
You mean, who is Dr. Foster from the comic books?
Yeah, is that some character we should know about, or?
Yeah, it's his long-time love interest.
It's his long-time love interest?
Thor, yeah.
No. I mean, I'm sorry. Jane Foster's father.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. So we have Jane Foster, Natalie Portman, Eric Selvig, played by Stellan Skarsgård.
Jane's father was Thor's love.
I was a little confused. I didn't know. I thought, hey, that's pretty progressive. We know Stellan Skarsgård, of course, from Good Will Hunting, Chernobyl, the series, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and 2021's Dune.
Maybe.
And Ronan.
Yeah. Oh, he's got a long history. And Darcy Lewis, who's Kat Dennings from, I guess, Two Broke Girls or something.
Yes.
I found her character actually kind of charming in this.
I found her character had more charisma and likability than Natalie Portman's character.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Meow, meow.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. So, and I've only seen one episode, or actually not even a whole episode of Two Broke Girls, and it was the worst. It was, to me, it was an example of the worst kind of sitcom. It was just sort of a joke, pause, joke, pause, joke, pause kind of show with no depth to it.
No, which I assume had a laugh track.
Oh, totally. Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Was that a Peter Lorre joint?
Chuck Lorre. Yeah, Chuck Lorre, Peter Lorre was a different thing.
Probably. I've seen a couple episodes of it, and it reminded me of like an adult version of like a Nickelodeon show.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think I've seen all of like 5 minutes of it, and it was I couldn't tolerate it anymore. I just I would rather go to the dentist.
Well, that's the thing is I guess I just assumed that anyone associated with that show was just, you know, lived in that world of drivel. But no, she was great.
Oh, writers, Whitney Cummings.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's where Whitney Cummings had every show. Because she was also one of the writers and producer, I think, of the Chelsea Handler show. Not the interview show, but the sitcom. And then she had the Whitney show.
Executive produced, Michael Patrick King, Whitney Cummings, Michelle Nader, and Liz Astroff.
They tell you, I read, when I was in San Diego, I listened to Whitney Cummings' autobiography or memoir, whatever he called it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also listened to it. Yeah, she's fine.
Yeah, it wasn't anything earth-shattering. It wasn't as entertaining as, say, Kristen Johnson's autobiography or memoir. Kirsten Johnson's.
Johnston. Memoir. Kirsten Johnston.
Kirsten Johnston, third from a stone from the rock, whatever.
Guts.
Anyway.
That is a great memoir, by the way.
Yeah, it is very good.
Guts.
So, basically, this movie starts out as Twister, where Stellan Skarsgård, I guess, would be the Philip Seymour Hoffman of the group. And Jane Foster is not the Helen Hunt. She would be whoever the main dude was, right?
Bill Paxton?
Bill Paxton, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, come on. Yeah, Bill Paxton was one of the good guys, man. At least I think so.
I think that makes Chris Hemsworth the flying cow.
Yes, I think so. Absolutely. Yeah. Because they're basically storm chasing in New Mexico and drive directly into a tornado and end up hitting a man. Vehicle pedestrian injury accident. And then we flash to 900 AD, where we hear the history of all of the Norse mythology. And in this world, the Norse mythology characters were all just aliens, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So, that's my question. It's like, I guess you have to explain it some way.
That's your question?
Well, you have to kind of explain it some way.
You mean they have all this weird otherworldly technology and they ride around on horses? But that's your question.
Well, again, it's
some of those horses could fly.
Yeah. But, and I guess it's because maybe my Dungeons and Dragons type heart wants to believe that that the land of the frost giants is just kind of north of the land of the Norse. You know, I don't know. Like, you ride your horses to it, but not necessarily over a rainbow bridge.
I meant to check, too. Was the frost giant dude the same guy for Breaking Bad?
Which guy?
Oh, the main bad guy.
Aren't they all bad guys? I've never seen it. I was told that that when I say, oh, yeah, she was in Breaking Bad, and agree with Drew that it was I was false advertising right there, implying somehow that I have seen the series.
You offended Jason so much.
I did.
That it's Colm Feore.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I guess I could have looked it.
Yeah. I don't believe he was in Breaking Bad. He was in Anon. Yeah.
I was thinking somebody else. So clearly.
Are you thinking Giancarlo Esposito?
No. Hang on.
The main bad guy.
Cranston? No.
Jesse Eisenberg, whoever the kid is.
Just keep throwing names out there. That's really helpful right now.
If I've offended you, all I can do is apologize.
Just looking up, just kidding.
Adrian Pasdar.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Catherine Bigelow.
Crispin Glover. Bruce Glover.
Jonathan Banks.
Danny Glover. Jonathan Banks. Yes, I think you're right.
I did not consider him a bad guy.
You didn't consider him a bad guy?
Not in the sense of antagonist.
Okay.
So I was kind of rooting for him.
Gotcha. No, I don't disagree with you. I'm just processing.
So we learn about the Land of the Frost Giants. We learn about Asgard. we learned about something called the Power Casket. And then we learned that Odin has two sons, the energetic blonde Thor, and the more thoughtful dark-haired boy named Loki. Odin says they are both worthy, but only one can be king. Yeah, talking about fucking family games.
I wrote down, oh sure, this is healthy. A whole bunch of sibling rivalry that's completely created. Oh, yeah, this will end well.
Oh, yeah, we, in the Anderson house, we call that the good son chair.
Yes. And it will all be revealed when the trust is read. So, years later, they're having an elaborate ceremony, and this is where we meet grown-up Thor, Chris Hemsworth, who we know from Cabin in the Woods, Bad Times of the El Royale, and the untitled Hulk Hogan Project. He plays Terry Bullion. Yeah.
And Extraction. Great movie.
Yeah. And a very funny little bit he did with his brother, mocking the internet meme, Charlie Bit My Finger. It's dumb, but have you ever seen Charlie Bit My Finger, the little kids, and then the Hemsworth brothers doing it?
I've seen it.
Yeah, it's a little bit of nonsense. It's fun. Anyway, so now we have, you know, we learn that, okay, Thor is being recognized as the Crown Prince of Asgard. And Loki, Tom Hiddleston, is looking on enviously. Now, this is one of those, I hate to bring it back to foreign language period pieces, but this is another one of these movies where I almost expected there to be some sort of like 70s, 80s, or 90s song when he entered the room.
Such as what?
I don't know. Again, for some reason, I keep going to the History of Rock and Roll Part 2. But apparently, Joker, a movie I've never seen, ruined that for the world. If pedophilia couldn't, then Joaquin Phoenix did. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Hey! Da-da-da-da-da. So, anyway.
You don't think he's more of a TNT guy?
A TNT guy?
The AC/DC song?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yes, actually, absolutely, you're absolutely right. Or Thunderstruck, actually.
Oh, perfect. Yes.
Oh, boy.
But
touche.
No, you don't know. You got me in the ballpark. I just found that last base for you. So sure. And Thor is goofy and Thor is arrogant, but everybody likes Thor because he's handsome and funny and dumb. Which is great, again.
And strong.
And
very strong.
Very strong. Very strong, yes. Lusty in his appetites. So, as they're going to have the ceremony, or just before Odin says, hey, I am crowning you, the Crown Prince of Asgard, the equivalent of the car alarm goes off. And Odin's like, hold on. Because someone, intruders, have entered the room that holds the Jotuns, those are the frost giants, power casket. That's a
blow. Power casket.
It's just weird.
It's the dumbest thing.
It is. Which actually, when we start getting further into this universe, I hate all of this power casket, like cube of power. I assume it culminates somewhere in the Infinity Gauntlet. But it's like, oh, come
on. Sure does.
Yeah. Anyway, so. It's
really super annoying in the Lego games. So
it's just one piece of the MacGuffin Lego set, right?
Mm-hmm.
So okay, so power casket, blah blah blah. This is where we learn that there's not only a car alarm that goes off, but guarding the power casket is the equivalent of a guard dog. In this case, a giant robot. Now, why?
It's called the Destroyer.
Yes. Now, is this is the Destroyer part of Norse mythology somewhere?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Yeah. So I'm somehow throwing a little doubt on the fact that there's a big robot that guards Odin's stuff. But hey, who am I? So the robot kills the intruders, saves the power casket, and Odin seems unperturbed. Yet Thor is angry and wants to attack. because Thor is has no
he's full of that impetuous youth.
Yes. So Odin forbids him to attack. And then Thor gathers Loki and then his close friends, Volstagg, Fandral, Hogan, and Sif.
Well, Loki kind of eggs Thor on, right?
Yes. Yeah, behind, I mean, Loki is saying, oh, you can't do this. You can't go and kill all the frost giants, but you sure would like to, wouldn't you? That kind of thing.
Yeah, you can't go. You have to obey. Yes. You must obey.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, a typical brother shit. So these characters, the chick and the Warriors 3 or whatever, mm-hmm. I assume they are somehow in the literature. I don't know how we have some sort of East Asian gentleman in the group, but maybe that's part of the literature as well. I don't know. Volstagg seems straight out of central casting, but Ray Stevenson, who I loved as the titular character in Punisher Warzone, is great.
That movie is nuts.
Yes, it is. And then Fandral, Josh Dallas, is sort of the swashbuckling kind of guy, I guess. Hogan again is the the Asian guy, a la cuisine. And then Sif is the chick. The badass chick. Warrior chick. And they are very cartoon characters, but that's okay. This is a cartoon movie, right? A comic book movie. So, and then we meet the Guardian, Heimdall, played by Idris Elba, who we know from Cats. And...
yep. That's all we know him from.
Yep. And anyway, he allows them to pass and go take the Rainbow Bridge, Bifrost, whatever thing, over to Jotunheim, which is, of course, a frozen planet. And then they are confronted by the king.
Liked the look of all of the Asgardian stuff, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, it looked great. It's just, for some reason, it's the bridge that pisses me off. And I know the bridge is part of it.
You don't like the actual Rainbow Bridge, or you don't like the effect? Because I really like the effect of when they use the magical transporter and they end up beaming down and leaving like the circle of runes on the ground.
Yeah, I think I just don't like the technology aspect of it. I guess I want my science and my fantasy to be separated a little bit. But again, that's very picky of me. So, yeah.
I just kept hearing Kermit the Frog, you know, because the rainbow connection kept popping into my head. Yeah. Rainbow Bridge, dead dogs. It was just like not a fun experience.
Dead dogs.
The Rainbow Bridge.
Oh, the dog is over the Rainbow Bridge. Okay. Yes, you're right. I'm sorry. Okay.
Are you a heartless bastard?
No. I had forgotten that. Yeah, that was the thing. So, King Lofi, the Frost Giant King.
Laufey.
King Laufey.
Kirsten Johnston.
Yes. Taunts the Asgardian heroes, blah, blah, blah. There's a bunch of frost giants around all these guys, and the battle starts. And Loki survives with some magic, but has an unusual reaction when he is touched by a frost giant. By the way, I think there's a whole series of Chuck Tingle books called Touched by the Frost Giant. So, anyway, Laufey releases his huge beast. Laufey releases a huge beast, but again, you know, it's very popcorn movie action thing. And Odin arrives to save the day. He apologizes to Laufey for the intrusion.
Well, he comes and capitulates, really.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Odin does not want a war.
No, he doesn't.
No, it's because he's old and tired and he doesn't want to have to take care of his hair.
Well, we're going to talk about some of this Odin stuff later, but yeah. Anyway, and Laufey says they're beyond diplomacy. and that the Frost Giants are now at war. You didn't want war with me. We're at war with you. So he attempts to stab Odin, who blasts him back, blah, blah, blah. They return to Asgard, and Odin lets the friends go, but confronts Thor and Loki, and Odin is furious that Thor has dragged Asgard back into war, and tells Thor he is not fit to be king, so he strips him of his power, banishes him to Earth, and sends his hammer, Meow Meow, after him a few seconds later, saying that whoever wields the hammer and is worthy of it shall have the power of Thor. Which, by the way, is that how we get a Lady Thor later in the series?
Maybe.
Okay.
I assume so.
Yeah, I don't know if you read the comic far enough to when they had a Lady Thor. Or is it one of those alternate universe things?
I think that happened in just the past couple of years.
Oh, okay.
That Lady Thor, by the way, is Jane Foster.
Get out of town.
Nope.
Okay. All right. It's trying to turn it into a Spider-Gwen kind of thing, but anyway. So,
I believe she's dying of cancer, and the only way she can stay alive is to be in her Thor form.
Oh. That must be hard to say all the time.
It's kind of like an Iron Man thing.
Huh. Well.
But I didn't read those comic books, so I'm speaking completely out of my ass.
Anyone who's familiar with the Lady Thor series, write to us at LadyThor@notinacreepyway.com. So back on Earth, we have, again, more of the... Earth is the yakety sex realm. So there's this whole thing about how Darcy tases him, and they keep hitting him with the car. And so they take him to the hospital, and he starts fighting, and when he wakes up, and he's eventually tranquilized.
Yeah, I really did like how so he doesn't have any of his powers or magical strength, but he's still a ginormous dude.
Oh, yeah.
So when he fights thinking he has super strength, I mean, he's still just throwing people around.
Yes, and he has the fearlessness of a god.
Yep.
Or alien, whatever, whichever, take your pick. So now,
also, Earth is just everybody's toilet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Jupiter ascending toilet. This movie toilet.
Okay,
like, it's just like just centrally, like this. The planet is just Earth is just like this terrible place. Nobody likes it. It's just a place for like ne'er do wells and hooligans and outcasts.
You know, watching Thor like parade around in a super tight T-shirt, it reminded me of how skinny he got for bad times at the El Royale.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the Lizard King. So, I was listening to, was it the America or the America Cast, AmeriCast, whatever it's called, what used to be the Brexit Cast, and or maybe it was actually I think it was maybe the Bugle, but it was the Bugle, because it was an Englishman, an Australian, and a New Zealander who were talking about, you know, politics in a satirical way, but. At one point, one of them, as they were talking about how the American elections was just, it just kept getting goofier and goofier, and everybody was sort of worried, you know, like why it was close at all, why the race could even be a question about who was going to win. And then one of them says, well, you know, we have to remind ourselves that we made fun of Americans being stupid way before 2016. So, anyway. Yeah.
Nice.
Maybe our reputation is not always the greatest. Like Earth. Or maybe, again, maybe I'm so arrogant I just assume that Earth is just big America.
That's a mood.
So Eric, the doctor guy, Stellan Skarsgård, is telling Jane, hey, let this guy go. He's a nut. Get out of here, man. Cut him loose. This is, you hit and run this guy, and he's just trouble.
The problem is he looks like Chris Hemsworth.
Well, exactly. Yes, yes, yes. Well, and the other thing is, when you find out that he is somehow maybe involved with S.H.I.E.L.D. or something, his character seems a little more sinister. But again, maybe not. He's the Odin of that group.
Dr. Selvig?
Yeah. Does this come up later in the series?
He's in other movies.
Okay, all right. That's all right. No spoilers.
The character, or both the character and the actor?
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah. Eric is trying to get Jane to just cut this guy loose, but she is curious and attracted to him, as anyone would.
Didn't buy it.
You didn't buy the chemistry?
No, there was no chemistry.
Well, I know. That's the thing.
Zero chemistry.
It was like anti-chemistry. They were almost repellent to one another.
Yeah. Yeah. So then, so Jane gives him the civilian clothes that belong, after they run him over the car again, and then that belonged to her ex-boyfriend. And so that ex-boyfriend was just what you said, Thor's pseudonym from the original stories.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, he had a whole nother life. He was like a real doctor.
Oh, okay. So after overhearing locals discussing, that's the other thing. They go into the diner.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all of this stuff with Thor in regular life, it worked, because I'm sure like seeing it in the theater, it was hilarious and fun. And I haven't seen the Superman movie where Superman gets into a bar fight and stacks a bunch of cars on top of each other. But these kind of scenes either work or they don't. And this one worked okay. It turns out the satellite is Meow Meow. And S.H.I.E.L.D. has it all surrounded. And we get this whole thing with Greg.
What's his name? You skipped over the hillbillies tailgating as everybody is taking turns trying to pull the hammer out.
Yes, yes. Very nice.
That's where we get the Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah, yes. And then we have the giant Acura ad, and
are you kidding? The what is it? The Kashi Go Lean Crunch.
Yeah, that was earlier though. They had repeated Acura ads, but S.H.I.E.L.D. comes in and erects a whole kind of containment system. Except that they leave it open top so that rain can make it all muddy.
Yeah, there's that. Yep, that was curious. Also, the containment system made mostly of paper.
Yeah, tissue paper.
It's like an ET containment, right?
Yeah, that I think that's what it was supposed to be reminiscent of, with the tubes.
Mm-hmm. I got nothing.
Also, I love Hawkeye.
Well, he was actually great in this part, because they just tease him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is kind of funny. And, it's seeing Chris Hemsworth, again, fight these guys is pretty fun. But anyway, so blah, blah, blah. You're going to skip over a little bit.
Well, he makes it to the hammer.
Yeah, he makes it to the hammer, but he can't lift it.
Mm-hmm. And you have the fun part where Coulson actually just, like a real boss, he just decides to watch what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Turns out Coulson is maybe my favorite character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe so far.
What did I say? I would totally watch just a movie of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want.
He has an entire television series.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. No, I love his interrogation style. I love his adventures with new Christine.
Old Christine.
I'm sorry, New Adventures with Old Christine. Well, he actually has Adventures with New Christine as well, but that's the problem. There's two Christines. By the way, he's great in that. Yes. She's great in that. Everybody's great in that. The brother who was in 42 is great in that. Anyway, so after he can't pick up the hammer, and during his interrogation by Agent Coulson, Loki appears in the room. And tells Thor that Odin is dead and he cannot come back to Asgard. Even his mother has shunned him.
Yeah, well, you skipped over the part where Loki confronted Odin about his origins.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. When Loki got touched by the Frost Giant, again, trademark, Chuck Tingle, he finds out that he is a Frost Giant. And for some reason, I thought maybe they were half brothers, but no, he's just a kidnapped boy. like what? Odin seems like a horrible alien god, whatever.
Except that he rescued the baby rather than kill it.
Well, also took it hostage.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it made me feel for the Frost Giant King, who theoretically had his child stolen from him, but maybe not his child, maybe just a child. I don't know. It seems really weird. Now, I could understand it if, like, during the whole conflict, he separated the child from its parents and then, you know, couldn't find the parents to give the child back, and so raised it as his own. I see that coming a little bit in our current.
I was going to say they came to the border and got separated.
Yeah, I can understand that. That's just a normal government thing, you know. No big deal, man. Chill. As long as you take good care of them, doesn't matter. But Loki is kind of pissed about.
Yeah, but who built those cages?
Exactly.
Robots. So,
oh, and also, by the way. Odin has some sort of Odin stroke, and so he goes into Odin sleep.
Yep.
Yeah. So there's that. Which is why Loki is the was it the acting chairman of the Assembly of Asgard or whatever, and so he sits on the throne, and he goes to tell Thor that he can't return. Blah blah blah. Even though his mother, Rene Russo, has told him he needs to bring Thor back into the fold. But anyway, turns out Loki is something of a trickster who has his own plans.
Yeah, and this is how dumb Thor is. I mean, Loki's been a trickster for their entire life together.
Famously.
Yeah. And Thor is just like, oh, really? I can't go back? Oh, Dad's dead? Oh, crap. Oh. All right.
So theoretically, Thor could spend eons looking for his nose that Loki had stolen.
Exactly.
Nice visual on an audio podcast.
Yeah, well.
That's what we do.
I just made a traditional.
Everybody knows the stole your nose gesture.
Yeah. The Coulson can't crack Thor. So Eric arrives.
Coulson can't crack Thor because there's nothing to crack. He's not hiding anything.
Yeah, yeah. So Eric arrives to tell the SHIELD agents that Thor is Jane's ex-husband, and he's in the influence of steroids and alcohol, and he's distraught. So Coulson just lets Eric take Thor. And then Thor grabs Jane's notebook on the way back, because, by the way, SHIELD came in and took all of Jane's hand-built secret scientific stuff. And again, in a very SHIELD-like manner, which is very funny. I assume Agents of SHIELD show is that every week. I do not know, but I hope so. Anyway, so Eric and Thor go out drinking, and they bond. And then Thor brings a drunk Eric back to Jane's trailer, and they go look for some cashy Goleen crunch, and go to the rooftop and gaze at the stars. And that's where Thor explains the Nine Realms and the Bifrost Bridge. And Jane figures out the bridge is the theoretical Einstein-Rosen Bridge wormhole. Again, I just want him to be a god, that's all. God beams down, that's all. That's all we need. When you take a big sword and you shove it in something and that makes the bridge, whatever, appear, you shouldn't have to have a corresponding, like, domed mechanical structure that goes along with it, because it's magic. I don't understand.
Are you familiar with the Marvel Ultimate Universe?
I'm not. I mean, I've heard of such a thing.
So at one point, you know, Marvel's sort of canon in history was so dense and so convoluted, they tried to spin off an entirely new universe to capture new readers who wouldn't have to
learn all the backstory.
Yeah, catch up on all of the history to understand what was going on. But they used all the same characters, just kind of started them over again, of slightly different kind of alternate universe versions of them. So you still had Captain America, and you had Thor. That's where we get the black version of Nick Fury. That whole the snake is eating its own tail, because when they created the ultimate version of Nick Fury, they modeled him, they drew him like Samuel L. Jackson because they wanted him to be that cool. But the ultimate version of Thor is actually really funny, because in that universe, he is he has the powers of Thor and he acts and claims to be a god. But everybody, including his allies, like on the Ultimates, which is that version of the Avengers, they just think he's like mentally ill. Like he's an actual an actual lunatic.
He's like the Tick.
Yeah, exactly.
See, that's fun.
But, you know, he's good natured, so everybody just kind of goes along with it and lets him be him.
Where's your Fledermaus when you need him? American made.
See, we talked about how, you know, Superman is an impossible character to have because he's too powerful. That's why Thor can't be a god. It's all make 'em up, so what am I concerned about? I don't know. Anyway. So now we find out Loki's ultimate goal is he is going to have the Frost Giants go in, who, by the way, since he knows he's a Frost Giant now, blah, blah, blah. He does not want to become king of the Frost Giants. He wants to destroy them all. But he'll start by having them go and kill Odin. And then he'll use that as a pretext to destroy all of Jotunheim for reasons I still don't quite understand.
It's right out of the Palpatine playbook.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Oh, Natalie Portman, what?
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Nice.
Also, I'm sorry. You know what? Did I say this is the only movie I thought Natalie Portman was not good in? You have just reminded me of three others.
I would also be remiss to say that, you know, November 5th is coming up very soon, so.
Yes, it is. Yeah, and actually, I think people are going to have a little bit of November 5th feel about them this year. Anyway.
Yeah. Where is oh, there it is.
So as the Frost, as Loki tries to kill Odin, Loki...
Laufey.
So Loki kills Laufey and appears to be the hero. But even though Heimdall is frozen by the Frost Giants, he manages to break free and brings Thor back to Asgard.
And Heimdall was frozen by Loki.
Yeah, okay. So, turns out, by the way, Heimdall, who's, I guess, loyal to Odin, but otherwise not terribly good at his job, allows the Warriors 3+1 to go down to Earth to help Thor.
He's loyal to the king, but he's also like Thor's BFF.
Yeah.
And Heimdall is actually super, super powerful. That's why he is the protector of the Bifrost.
Yeah.
He can actually see through all nine realms.
And actually, I skipped this big, long part because Thor going back to Asgard takes place after the Destroyer goes to Earth. So Thor is still a man on Earth. By the way, and this is where Loki freezes Heimdall and meets Laufey. And it turns out Loki is the one who led the Frost Giants into Asgard to get the power casket. And he makes a deal with Laufey that he'll let them into Asgard again to kill Odin and take their casket. And in return, they get to go home in peace. And in the meantime, Loki goes and tells the Destroyer robot to go to Earth and kill Thor. So back on Earth, the Destroyer arrives. At just about the same time that all the Warriors do. And so they have this sort of kind of a Western movie kind of single street fight. It's kind of strange. Yep.
The Destroyer was very War of the Worlds-esque.
Yeah, the Destroyer was not satisfying.
No.
Destroyer was kind of dumb. Yeah. Now, I think later...
I think they tried to make it gimmicky too, which didn't help. With all the with all the goofy special effects, and oh look, it can turn inside out, and like you wasted all of that plot point, which would have been better served actually developing something.
Yeah, I agree. So, and but see, and the other thing is, the Destroyer doesn't even look intimidating.
No.
The Frost Giants are a million times more intimidating than the Destroyer robot.
100%.
So, blah, blah, blah. Thor has to fight, and he basically gives himself up to save everybody else, blah, blah, blah. And then he, because of this selfless act to protect his friends, he is now worthy of Meow Meow, who then arrives, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, very, very Chronicles of Narnia move by him.
Yes. So, yeah. So then Thor goes back to Asgard.
Well, he gets his hammer back. He becomes Thor. He is a badass again.
Yeah. And yeah, we see a lot of like hammer swinging, that kind of stuff. And this is where Jane sees him as the god he is, blah, blah, blah. And he promises to go and take her on a magic carpet ride to Asgard at some point. But he goes back to Asgard, and it's all this fight between Loki and Thor. And during the fight, Odin shows up, and the two brothers are falling into the void of space. And Odin's there to hold Thor, and Thor is holding Loki, and Loki sees the writing on the wall and admits defeat and allows himself to be to fall off the bridge into the abyss of no return. And Asgard is back to normal, except that Thor has destroyed the Bifrost Bridge, so there's going to be some sort of, I don't know, government program to fix the infrastructure. And he can't go back to Earth in order to fulfill his promise to the mortal Jane.
Right. There's no possible way to get back to Earth.
No. And Odin has said how it all
except
turned
for
out.
Space travel.
Yeah, well, exactly. So Thor pines for Jane, but Heimdall assures him that she's looking for him. And, of course, Heimdall's keeping an eye on her because he's not a creep. And so back
he's
on Earth.
He's just checking her radiation levels.
There you go. And back on Earth, Jane is in a new lab with new equipment. And this is where Selvig is taken to the S.H.I.E.L.D. facility, where he meets, by the way, in the post-credit scene that I stayed around for, where he meets Nick Fury. Fury shows him an object in a briefcase, which he said could be a source of unlimited power. And then we see Loki that's sort of peering on that says, well, I guess that's worth a look, which then Selvig repeats. And now, is the next movie in the series the Avengers?
It's Captain America.
The first Avenger. Okay. All right. And now, is the Avengers after Captain America? Or do we still have... Okay, all right. So, any notes, Jason, Drew? Thoughts, hopes, dreams, ambitions, frustrations, likes, dislikes?
When I first watched the movie, I couldn't really quite put my finger on why I just thought it was fine. But watching it this time, what I realized was... For all the big, like, interstellar settings and ideas, it is such a tiny movie.
Yep.
Yes. It must have had a really small budget. Like, you mentioned the final battle was, it had a very kind of Western feel to it. And not only just because of the single street nature of it, but, I mean, it almost looked like the buildings were just facades.
Yes.
You can almost see the 2x4s holding them up. And there were no people, like just no extras in this movie.
Yeah.
It was really sparse, you know, for all the special effects. This movie felt so tiny.
Well, I think I think part of that was the setting on purpose, though, because they had it remote because she was researching these anomalies.
Yeah, but it felt like they wrote that in order they wrote themselves into a location where they wouldn't have to spend a lot of money.
Well, I think later in these movies, we're going to have scenes where we talk about how fights where thousands of people are killed.
This had a $150 million budget.
Ugh. Yeah, but $57 million of that went right into Kenneth Branagh's pocket.
And Anthony Hopkins.
Yes.
is that it's made $450 million cumulatively worldwide.
It was perfectly entertaining. I mean, I think I agree with both of you guys. I mean, it was fine to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't offend me in any way.
It got me really excited for the Hawkeye movie.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait.
Still waiting.
Is there
one? I went back and read the Hawkeye limited series, by the way.
Oh, and?
It's not good. I don't know if you remember this, but one of the main bad guys is a juggler.
Oh, I don't remember that. That's hilarious.
It's so dumb. Yeah. I mean, it introduces Mockingbird, who is also a very, very cool character. But yeah, it's real dumb.
You know, comic book. What can you do, right?
Yeah.
You don't want it to be too realistic. You want it to be fun. Fun and colorful and exciting, and you want to cheer at the end.
And I also don't want to stray too far from the story because you want those loyalists to stir up interest.
Yeah, you want fan service for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the fun things to track throughout all of these Marvel movies is how over time they let the actors kind of return to their normal selves. In this first movie, Thor is super blonde and super buff with kind of the long hair, with like the big poofy cape and stuff. And over time, his hair gets darker and shorter, and the cape gets less poofy until it kind of disappears altogether. Same with Chris Evans. He is super blonde in the first movie. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, by the fifth or sixth movie he's in, he's got brown hair. He's looking all scraggly, sporting a quarantine beard.
Yeah, you know, I guess that's what you want to do, though, right? I mean, you want to take your fans by the hand, mm-hmm. and lead them from the ultimate fan service when you introduce it. To be like, yes, that's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah,
I want to see Wonder Woman tied up a lot. You know, tradition.
Yeah, that's a great transition.
sorry.
What feels really rough about these first few movies is how fan servicey they really are, and how limited it makes the stories themselves. Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to progressing for sure.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Although the very worst Marvel movie is still yet to come.
Okay, cool. In how many movies?
Three or four.
Okay, cool. So, Brother Jay, do you have a verdict?
I'd give this a B+. It was a perfectly reasonable movie. It was entertaining. The action was fine. It wasn't spectacular. The acting was fine. It wasn't spectacular. The cast was fine. It wasn't spectacular. I think it's a fine movie. I hadn't seen it. It would be fine if I watched it again. But I should probably wait a couple of years because I'm not sure it would do it justice or make me happy to watch it right now. But I think it's a perfectly fine movie.
There's no reason to ever watch this movie again.
Okay. I wish they'd had a better, you know, the Natalie Portman thing is a definitive obstacle to this movie having been more successful. I think had there been a co-star with some kind of chemistry, I think this would have elevated at least another half a level from where it is.
Do you think it would have helped if he seemed the least bit interested in her?
Well, I think he's supposed to be clueless enough that he's pretty much interested in anything with a pulse.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
So, I didn't disbelieve that he was interested in her, but I also wouldn't have disbelieved that he was interested in, again, any female with a pulse. So, because that's who Thor is, right? He's just kind of I don't want to say Casanova, but he's the...
He gets what he wants.
Yeah.
His appetites are huge.
Yeah. I just didn't buy her as the object of his desire. So,
What's really incredible, I don't think this gives anything away, but what this movie series does with Thor, who's arguably like the dumbest character, not just because he's kind of dumb, but like just the whole concept of him being a god and immortal, and it's a Superman thing. So Thor's kind of a dumb character, even if he's fun.
Even in mythology, he's kind of bumbling.
Yeah. And what the movie series does with him as a character and with Captain America, who is really probably the corniest character, super corny in the comic books. What the movie series does with Captain America is also really incredible. I mean, you kind of already see what they're doing with Iron Man. But the way they were able to use those two characters, Thor and Captain America, it really blew my mind once I looked back on everything.
Oh, I look forward to that because I've not seen enough movies to see this progression myself. So, Drew, was it worth it?
This movie, yeah, it's worth it once.
It's a bridge movie.
Yeah, I think the more you watch it, the more you're going to get really severely diminishing returns. So it's fine. It's great. It's a perfectly palatable origin movie.
Yeah, I fully agree. Are we on to housekeeping?
We should do that.
Housekeeping. So, like every week, I'll say I don't have anything, and then I'll be reminded of a bunch of stuff when I interrupt you guys.
Where's your new dog?
No new dog yet. It's coming. We have a lot of house cleaning to do before we get a new dog. Turns out getting a new dog is also complicated. And depending on where you get a new dog, you have to invite strangers into your home. So that's a whole other thing. Yeah. So no new dog not yet, but we're poised. I mean, we were going to go to a pet rescue event tomorrow, but GCI crapped out their internet service when Kelly was trying to put it in her application. And so they were closed to taking applications the next morning. So she and Journey are all sad because they had their heart set on going to. Anyway, it's all very complicated. But it's only a matter of time. I think I told you I had been teaching last week. And this week, the recruit I had just prior has now made it through training, and she's a cut loose member of the staff. So that's really great. And I get to teach a class I've never taught before next week. And it turns out I'm going to have to do a shit ton of homework because the not the material necessarily, but the PowerPoint presentations that we've been using, even ones that were marked like 2019, are garbage. So I'm going to have to go through and change a bunch of that stuff, but hopefully I will do the work and then it'll be better next time. It turns out if everything stays as it is, which God knows, Journey will be going back to school on November 16th because the Montessori school has been given dispensation to bring everybody back if they want, given the nature of the Montessori thing. So, and I guess Polaris is the same way. We'll see.
My children's school is the exact opposite.
Yeah, that's what you're saying, which is I think I would prefer your school, frankly, in this situation. Although, again, it's either way, it's not great.
Yeah, there's no good options.
But, you know, it could be worse. Knock on wood, we're all healthy, we're all fine. Yeah, so that's it for me. What do you guys got? Jason, has house hunting been as demoralizing as I can imagine it would be, and was in my case when we were doing it?
Let's talk about house hunting.
I assume your house hunting is going to be long, so I'll go real quick.
Go ahead.
Two things. I watched a movie like for leisure this week. I was just flipping around. I finished Thor early this week. So I was like, you know, I'm going to watch a movie just for fun. And I found a movie on HBO called The Way Back. And it looked like a sports movie, had Ben Affleck in it. And I did not realize the type of movie I was watching. I was expecting kind of a feel good. Yeah, he's down and out. He's had some personal demons and he starts coaching this high the basketball team at the high school where he used to be a basketball star, and he was going to find some sort of redemption. And I had to stop watching the movie halfway through because I was like laying in bed with like tears streaming down my face. I was like, I can't do this. I can't. So it took me like another week to go back and finish it. Yeah, it was a much better movie than I was anticipating it to be. And it was shockingly good. And when the credits rolled, I didn't notice this in the beginning, but the name came up. It was like directed by Gavin O'Connor. I was like, oh, of course. That's why. It's the same dude who did the movie Warrior. Which is probably the last sports movie that made me cry. So yeah, that was it was good, but that's a brutal movie. Ben Affleck's really good in it. The other thing I wanted to mention was I can fill you in on the details post podcast, but I had a situation this week. It just reminded me like how formative the Rollins box set was when I was in high school. Like how many times I listened to it while just hanging out at home playing pool by myself. And I had an occasion this week where it reminded me of the story of him doing the performance in Yugoslavia where the guy spit on him.
Yes.
And the part where he's like, yeah, come here. Yeah, just come a little closer, fucker. Come here. Yeah, rock, baby. Come here. And then just that whole sentiment of like, yeah, you're my buddy. Come here. Be nice. Come close. Come close enough for me to punch you as hard as I can in the face. Of course, then he gets that knuckle stuck in it, or he gets that tooth stuck in his knuckle. But yeah, so things that happen in my everyday life still remind me so much of some of those stories that I used to listen to from him all the time.
Rock throwing the rock off the cliff.
Yes. Yeah.
Rewind bun bun.
Yes. Being full of shit to the brim.
I still say, like, I still find context to say, I love you and you hit me.
Exactly.
That box set really was transformative in many ways. So
it's the four CD Rollins spoken words.
It's more than four CDs. Oh, I think
maybe two of the albums were double CDs or something.
Yeah, I think there's eight CDs total, but maybe it's six. I don't know. I just remember two of them. At least two of them had. That weird double backwards jewel box business.
Yes.
That thing would always confuse me, and I would always try and open the wrong end and get pissed off, you know.
And then one of the discs is completely, or maybe it's just one of the tracks in one of the discs, is completely unburnable, unrippable.
Yes. It's like 42 minutes.
I don't know what it is, but it just gets completely unrippable. I can't do it.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre.
I haven't tried lately, though. I should.
It
go
might
back
actually be the decoration story.
So, house hunting, which is now my favorite hobby, and when I say favorite hobby, as I'd rather go to the dentist without Novocaine at this point. So I don't know. I can't. I don't remember anymore. All this is bleeding together. But basically, my real estate agent told me that. Historically, when real estate's normal, there's about 18 months worth of houses inventory on the market, meaning that if no other house came on the market today, it would take 18 months to sell everything, right? Mm-hmm. However, In the last weird, crazy real estate boom, when about 10 years ago, they went down to about 6 months of inventory. As of last week, there was less than a month of inventory.
Ugh, brutal.
So
yeah,
it's been a little crazy for me trying to find, because what I can find is either, hey, there's this house that's in my price range, and oh, it's a shithole, or oh, there's this house that's in my price range, oh, except I'm going to get completely outbid by about 1,000 other people that are also trying to buy the last dregs of real estate that are left on the market. So
yep.
We're kind of backing off a couple of things here and there, and since ostensibly I'm not supposedly in a rush to get property, I'm just kind of taking time, right? So
yeah.
But every now and then I'll see a house and I'll be like, you know what, the price on one of those houses just dropped like $15,000. I'm like, okay, this is now in my range. They need to sell it because they wouldn't have dropped the price, and it's been on the market for a couple of weeks. So I've looked at one house this week, and it's a decent house. I would offer under what they're asking because it needs complete new flooring, and it needs painted, and it needs like some work done. Like it needs a new shower because the shower existing is like an ADA shower, and I would just not be comfortable in this giant cavern of a shower that basically just throws water right under the floor. So, we would have to throw, you know, we would have to throw some money into it right away, which is fine. But it has quite literally almost no yard, like less than your yard, Eric. Like,
yeah, turns out if you want to buy a dog, that's going to be a problem.
Well, where the house is located is directly across the street from a giant state park. So it's not like it would be, you know, we never leave our dog is not currently ever off leash. So it's not like our lifestyle would change. We always have to take him out on a leash anyway. So that wouldn't be a change. It was on a nice quiet street, a dead end street. There's only 7 houses on the street. I have neighbors on each side of me, but I don't see any neighbors outside my front windows because it's on a hill. So the neighbors that I would see are up way above where I can see the sight lines. And nice. The other side of the house looks over a park. And so it's fine.
So you're like, you'd be like in the middle of a hill?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not really. So there's like a hill and then there's a plateau and then there's a hill and there's another plateau and then there's this park thing. So it's not like it's a straight slope, continuous slope. It's just like these weird plains that exist on the side of a hill. And it would have been a fine house. It was decent price, but it was just fine. And I don't want to spend that kind of money and have it just be just fine, you know, because it's not an insubstantial investment at this point. Yeah. So I kind of like, apparently their real estate agent called my real estate agent because we're the only people that have looked at the house in 3 weeks.
Wow.
And so I think they were trying to see if they could interest us. And I'm like, well, if they want to drop the price a whole bunch, I'm more than happy to, but I don't think they want to drop the price anymore. So. So I just kind of walked away from that. So I found another house to look at today. And it would be, it's right at my price range. It would be perfect. It's a nice, it has plenty of space. It's like an 1800 square foot house, has a bit of a yard, which is good. It's in an okay area in Vancouver. And then I went and looked at it today and I'm like, it's fine. But then I'm looking around and there's like little things that really irk me about it. Like they've put a dog door in an exterior wall through the siding of the house.
What a convenient idea.
So there was that. They put the entire electronic setup for the house, like the router and the modem and all that, in the top of the laundry room.
Sweet.
where all of the moisture accumulates for the house. So, so I was like,
but at least it stays cool.
So if you put a bird door right next to the right in the laundry room,
Now my real estate agent, she goes, this is an average house. It's going to be average in value. It's pretty basic. It's fine. It would be a fine house, but it's not, it's average in build quality. Because you probably wouldn't have any problems with it, but it is what it is. It is just average. So, you have to keep that in mind. If you were to buy it, you're going to have to keep up with it because it's going to need work.
It'll never be anything more than an average house.
Yeah, that's what she said. She goes, you're never gonna really get much beyond that. And it's about 16 years old, so which isn't bad. I mean, it's good. So I kind of like, I thought about it. Driving home, I called boyfriend Jesse and was like, I don't think so. The dog door in the side of the wall really bothers me. It kind of just offends all of my sensibilities. And I thought I was bigger than that, but I'm not. I just immediately judged everything that they've done in that house just based on that dog door in the side. It's just like no, because what else am I going to find, you know? And so the real estate agent has been telling me, because she, of course, I see these range of houses, which are well beyond my budget, but also right at the cusp of my budget. And she's like, well, you can fudge a little bit because we can also, there's some wiggle room and your interest rate may actually be lower than what you have because of the interest rates. I may actually get a cheaper interest rate than I have right now, which I don't understand, but for whatever reason, I'm going to have a cheaper interest rate. Which makes a big difference. So I found a house and I thought, well, it's expensive, but it's beautiful. And it's only a couple years old. And it's also the same neighborhood of the first house that we looked at that Jesse and I wanted. We want that neighborhood. So,
excellent.
But it would be stretching. It would be a stretch. So that's a concern, but because it's in a different city, it's not in Vancouver, it's not in Portland, the property tax is less, which makes another huge amount of difference in house payments. So
turns out
it's a house, it's at the end of a street. There are no houses across the street. It is a dog park. So I would have neighbors to one side of me and neighbors behind me. And the house is beautiful. It's gorgeous. It is amazing. And I was really, really happy. And I'm going to go look at it tomorrow. And then my real estate agent called me. And she said, "You know, it doesn't have air conditioning, right?"
Of course,
sweet. Bitch.
God damn it. So she said you should still look at it because you can live without air conditioning for a year or two. You could finance some air conditioning if you wanted to. Also, the house is air conditioner ready, so it's already ready for the condenser. Basically, it's all ducted in, and because it's forced air heat anyway. So she goes, that shouldn't be a deal breaker. And she said, this house is a great value. It's a great house. It will appreciate in value very substantially in the next 5 to 10 years because of the quality of the build and where it's at. So cool. I'm going to look at it tomorrow and then cry all the way home because I probably will get outbid for it. Because that's the other thing that's happening is things are still going over list price and I don't have a lot of wiggle room. So,
yeah. Well, you never know.
Well, I'm going to look at it and we'll see. Closing is between 30 and 60 days right now. So 30 days would suck.
Yeah.
But 60 days would be okay. But then there's the whole variable. I don't even know if we're going to be traveling in December. So
I was going to ask about that because there's no good answers right now.
Well, they're not going to get any better. I mean, the numbers are everybody's numbers are headed up in such a fashion that we are going to end up. I say we, most of the country is going to end up locked down another 2 to 4 weeks. I don't see any way to avoid it. People are not enough people are not following the protocols to be healthy and safe, and I know that because I talk to people every day and they do stupid shit constantly. Like, oh yeah, my boss and his wife are coming over to hang out. I'm like, why are you having people in your home that aren't in your unit? Like, this is the problem. So people just don't get it. I understand. They're frustrated. They have isolation fatigue. I get all that. But Jesus, it's like you're causing the problem and the rest of us are trying to behave and it's not helping. So.
Yeah. If it was just a personal thing, it wouldn't matter as much, but yeah, I mean, you just can't, I mean, I just don't understand. You can't pretend things are normal just because you crave normalcy.
Well, and the other thing I've been reminding, like Jesse, I reminded too, I'm like, because he said something about, well, things are going to go back to normal. I said, this is the new normal. Things are not going back to normal. The normal that you knew is not going to exist anymore. Things will go back to a different semblance of normalcy, but we're existing in a new reality, and that's just how it's going to be. You know, we are in a new era of society, and that's just how it has to be. As long as we're as interconnected and free traveling and roaming and full of disease and pestilence and anti-science. So
has Jesse ever seen the movie version of 12 Monkeys?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's perfect. Yeah. Yeah. It's where
we're headed. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to throw this idea out here. Do we want to start a Civil War podcast right in November, or should we wait a little bit? Because I want to get on it as soon as possible. But the Anderson Civil War Chronicles, you know, the 21st Century Civil War, the American Civil War II, we'll just chronicle that. It'll be kind of fun. It's gallows humor.
Too soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've already voted. Thank God, I've already voted.
Me too. Me too.
I keep getting phone calls. I'm like, ha ha ha, already voted. Don't call me. So, somebody came by the house and then
fuck like, yeah, I'll take your survey. Let's do this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I did watch the debate. I made it through the whole debate. I was actually kind of surprised because there was actually almost kind of a debate. So, but as I read in several pieces, the winner out of the debate was the mute button. So,
yeah, the moderator got some bump from that.
The moderator still just got ran over constantly. So,
since we live in a post fact world. so you know
that's, we live in an alternative fact world.
Yeah. It's a choose your own fact adventure game.
Yes.
That part is impressive.
I did enjoy the Abraham Lincoln joke moment where it just turned it into two old guys who couldn't hear each other.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's just two old guys.
Well, don't worry, because if Biden wins in a couple of years, we're going to have President Harris.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I can totally get behind 47. It's getting rid of 45 is my problem.
No, I don't. I mean, who knows if Biden's going to live through the term if he wins?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, who knows if Trump would, but
Kamala will be 47. Yeah.
But I'm more comfortable with with President Harris than I am with President Pence.
Oh my God!
Did you see the Tommy Lee thing? Did I send you the Tommy Lee thing?
Yes.
Oh, so genius! So genius. Anyway,
words that have never been said about Tommy Lee, so everybody's happy.
I got my hat's off. It was witty and funny and on the nose. So,
oh no, he could be a super smart guy. He just hasn't historically been known for his huge brain.
Well,
so take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
one podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies, they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the Brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey.